Hello, Perry.
Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Hi, what it is that my husband was at work listening to you and said that people have been talking about Sophie. I'm Sophie Jones's mum.
Hello, Perry.
Hello. And I'm basically what I'm ringing for is to say that we are so overwhelmed and thankful for the support we've had. We're really pleased with how the debate's going with Parliament, and that although we may not get a date for a couple of months in Parliament, that we're hoping to keep the campaign alive enough so this time it isn't swept under the carpet.
Well, first of all, let me say, Perry, I read the story, first of all, and my heart went out to you, as everybody else did. And then one of Sophie's friends rang up to tell us about the Facebook. This was before it all broke quite big.
Yeah.
And we were overwhelmed at what she said and spoke so highly about Sophie and how tragic it is and how it should not have happened. So we then played the interview again the next day, and then, not just us, everybody, it exploded. You must... I can't... Well, it's 300,000 people now.
Yeah, about 320, I think we're on now.
Right.
What Sophie wanted was that so as it didn't happen to one other family.
Yeah.
And that was one of her wishes, as well as getting a dog. that, you know, that she didn't want this to happen to anybody else. And I think in the North we've managed to make it clear that we don't want to blanket smear 16-year-olds. And it sort of it becomes a choice when you've been told the pros and cons of what can happen. I don't see any reason why the smear 11 can't be lowered to the same as, say, Scotland is at 20, maybe 21.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take into consideration that people are having babies at 16 and younger, that for medical people to say that it's invasive and embarrassing for people, well, a lot of these kids are having kids. So I just think that if when you go to your doctors, that the GP should sit up and take notice when you're presenting with symptoms.
Yeah.
It would have been too late for Sophie to have a smear. She was already presenting with symptoms, but she should have been referred immediately to a gynaecologist. And the sort of 10 months that it took to get there was too long. But so, basically, I'm really ringing to sort of thank everybody for their support and hope that even if we have to wait, say, 2 months, which it could possibly be before it goes into Parliament, that we can keep it alive that long so as it isn't swept under the carpet.
Well, first of all, Steve Rotherham is an incredible man who is passionate about things, so you couldn't have had anybody better than him to speak. If you don't mind, Perry, and I'm thrilled you rung because it gives me a chance to speak about Sophie. Can you, I know it's painful, but can you talk about her illness and tell us how it affected her and give us a brief history on what happened and how it worked with her?
Yep. Sophie presented last February to her GPs with pains in her hip bones running through down into her lower stomach and going down into her back, and with vaginal bleeding that was for, in the end, 6 to 8 months with an odd day where she didn't, and was eventually referred to a gastroenterologist. And the gastroenterologist checked sort of all through her digestive type system. And it wasn't until then that she was referred to a gynaecologist. And by this time, it spread into her stomach lining and her diaphragm and the edges of her liver. So she was diagnosed in November and diagnosed terminal in December. But she presented as early as February and constantly went to her doctors, went to A&E a few times, was sent away with things like cocodamol, being told it wasn't a matter of life and death. It's really that I think that once you get to your GP, you really, really need to push. If you think there's something wrong with your body, then push, because you really know when you're not well.
Perry, how did she cope with it?
She was amazing. absolutely amazing. All she cared about was how we felt and how upset that we would be. She was positive through to the end. She didn't let anything defeat her. Even the day before she died, she was determined that she was going to get up and go to the toilet. Nobody, I mean, with a little bit of help, because her walking wasn't great then, but, you know, she did everything herself. And just, she was smiling, but right the way through to the end, she was just, I'm positive, and always.
Perry, did she know she was at the end? Did she give up fighting, or did she fight right to the end?
To be honest, it sort of, she fought through to the end, which, I mean, we knew for 3 days that before she died that it probably wasn't going to be much longer. And I think she knew too, but she was never going to give up fighting. She just wasn't. She said she'd fight it to the end, and she did.
Were you with her?
Yeah, me and all her brothers and sisters. So,
how have you all coped? I know the pain.
Sorry,
say again, sorry.
I said, I'm the husband. I said, sorry, Jake.
I was going to say, fancy picking the husband. That's terrible, that. Typical woman. Right, you've had 320,000 people, which has helped. But how do you cope, and how have the family coped? Are you a very strong family?
Yeah, we always sort of pull together. We got our diagnosis of terminal in December. And from the beginning of, and she started her chemo then, sort of almost immediately. They only did 3 sets, which I think they were just doing because, hoping probably that it may prolong her life a bit. but we really knew that there wasn't going to be a huge amount of time.
What would she say about what's happened? If she was here, and she's probably looking down now, what would she say at what's happened?
She would probably say something like, "See, Mama told you I was going to be famous."
Oh, wow.
So,
what was she like?
She was bubbly, she was loud, she loved going to rave. She was a typical teenager. But she was a peacemaker, because she was actually the baby, although she was a twin. She was the younger twin. And she sort of held us all together. If anyone rowed, Sophie would be there to fix it. She was an all-round amazing person. I don't think I could probably meet anybody that, even if Sophie hadn't have been sick, that said that she wasn't a good person. So
now, it's bad enough to lose somebody you love like this as a mum and dad and brother and sister. How's a twin coping?
She's doing surprisingly well. I think that she's better than we expected her to. And it feels to me like part of Sophie has jumped into her. That she's sort of got this extra sort of urge to do things and to want to make things better, you know, for herself throughout her life and things. That I see more of Sophie in her now than I ever did before, because apart from that, Sophie loved to dress up and Ashley's more of a tomboy. With the exception of that, I see a lot of Sophie in her now.
Apart from her, which you can't ever express what you feel about losing her, what do you miss most about her?
I think the way we used to talk, because I've always been honest with my children. They always get, you know, what's real. Even when she was diagnosed terminal, my sister sort of, shall we tell her? And I'm like, of course we're going to tell her. You know, I've never lied to my children. I'm not going to start lying to her now. And we really used to talk. So, but she was always, it wasn't like we were like best friends too.
So you've lost your best friend?
Yeah, as well, because we, especially towards the end, because we spent so much time in hospital and together, and it's sort of, when we come home, there's a piece missing now. So, but, and I'd say time's a healer, but you know, sort of walk through, and you see her pictures and you see how happy and healthy she looked. And
was when she found out she was terminal, was she frightened or did she have a way of coping?
No, she never, she just, I mean, I think at one point she said, I am going to die, aren't I, Mum? And I said, yes, Soph, but I can't tell you when, because we were never told when. You know, nobody gave us a length of time, possibly because they couldn't.
Yeah.
And then she said, we'll make sure I've got a pink coffin. And that was it.
So she had a strength that a lot of people would never understand. That's incredible.
No, she had a super strength. Mm. Super strength. Much stronger than I think I could have been.
If, I know you rang up to say thank you, and I hope you don't mind me asking these questions, because it's been interesting to go on a little journey with, you know, because she was a pretty girl, wasn't she?
Yeah, she really wants to be a model. But she was only 5'7". So she wasn't quite tall enough to be, but she sort of had portfolios on and things, and there are some amazing pictures, which incidentally was mad because her sister came across the you know, the DVDs that all her pictures were on. She only came across them yesterday in their room, so because they shared a room, so she went, well, look, apart, I found Sophie's photos, Mum. So
did you ever in your wildest dreams think that this campaign would reach what it's reached, with being spoken about in Parliament, with being on the national news? Did you ever think?
No, because we're just an ordinary family. You know, we didn't, with no celebrity status or anything, that we're just an ordinary family that really wanted to stop things happening to other people, for GPs to sit up and take notice and not be blasé when particularly younger people come in and are saying things, and I know they get a lot of time wasters, but you know, there is time that couldn't be lost. I mean, nobody can say that when Sophie went, that initially it wasn't terminal. We can't say that because we don't know, but it may not have been. And for it to take from the beginning of February to sort of mid-November for a diagnosis, when a simple colposcopy, which could have been done in a couple of weeks, could have saved their life.
Perry, was it peaceful at the end?
Well, to be honest, I didn't watch. I was there, I was holding her hand, but I personally couldn't watch her breathing. It was... and so, I mean, the children said that It was sort of that she was still fighting. It was like she was talking to somebody and telling them to wait, that she wasn't ready. And she certainly wasn't talking to us. Who she was talking to, we'll never know. But she's saying, I'm not ready, I'm not coming yet. And then...
So she was a fighter all the way.
Yeah. She was like, I'm not ready, I'm not coming. So...
Perry, you're Sophie Jones's mum. What's your message to everybody out there? Because we don't want, as you say, this campaign to fade away.
We want you to please keep supporting us, because in case we have a couple of months with the way Parliament works. And we really, really appreciate everything that's been done so far. And please, if you present with even the slightest of symptoms, make your GP listen.
Perry, thank you for talking to me.
All right, thank you.